China shores up investment in Africa's human capital. While the number of Africans enrolled in American and European higher ed remains stagnant, nearly a third of international scholarships offered by the Chinese government are awarded to Africans. China is deepening its $12 billion investment in Africa by aiding universities there and setting up Chinese language schools on the continent. Ryan Brown is a freelance journalist just returning to the States after spending a year in Johannesburg as a Fulbright scholar. She wrote about African students sidestepping the West in China for the Chronicle of Higher Ed. And she's on the line with us from Colorado. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So how many African students are currently enrolled in Chinese schools?
There are about 20,000 Africans currently enrolled in Chinese universities. And for comparison, there are about 36,000 Africans at American universities. But as you said, that number has been quite stagnant in the U.S. for about the last 6 or 7 years, while the number in China is growing very rapidly. So it won't be long now before China overtakes us for bringing African students over.
I know when we talk about Africa, we are lumping an entire continent of many nations where China has economic and financial relations. There are many, many people and reasons and paths for Africans. But we're going to use this just to simplify. So what is the advantage of studying in China for an African?
Yeah, well, you're right that it's hard to generalize. But among the students I spoke to, just on a purely practical level, they say, you know, they've grown up seeing this Chinese influence in their countries, you know, Chinese companies, Chinese banks, Chinese mining houses. And they know that just for themselves, if they can gain experience with the language and the culture in China, that it'll really be a sort of huge, huge boon to them professionally. And then the other thing, of course, you know, that's the pull for them to come to China. And there's a kind of push out as well. Not in all African countries, but in a lot of them, there's some combination of overcrowding and underfunding in the university system. And so you end up with a lot of very talented students who need to go abroad in order to continue their education. And historically, I mean, most of them have gone to the West, but that can be prohibitively expensive, for one thing. And it can be very, very difficult for these students to get visas as well. So what's happening now is China is saying, come here instead. You know, we will make it easy for you to get in, and we will offer a world-class education to you at either for free if you get a scholarship or at a cost that's much, much less than you would pay in the West. So there are a lot of students really, really jumping at that opportunity.
So this is on top of China's traditional investments in natural resources and markets on the continent. What is the benefit there, and why this government initiative to educate Africans there and in China?
Yeah, well, as you say, China has a very strong economic interest in the African continent. In the past few years, they've surpassed the U.S. to become the number one trading partner for Africa. And so that economic interest brings along with it, you know, a desire to shore up goodwill among African peoples and African governments. And one way in which they're doing that is to offer these scholarships and bring over, you know, African students and kind of create this positive feedback loop. And the other thing is, as well, is when you bring over African students, expose them to Chinese language and culture, they come back to their countries with those experiences, and that can really grease the wheels of sort of future economic and diplomatic relations.
And that relationship is important. China and Africa share ancient history, and in the modern era, both were colonized by Europeans at some points in history. If these relationships also sort of sidestep the West, is that intentional? Is there a sort of thumbing your nose at the West going on here? Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think there certainly is. I mean, in addition to the fact that practically speaking, it's very useful for Africans to be able to go abroad to China and get these degrees, and practically speaking, it's very nice for China to be able to shore up these diplomatic relations. There's also just a very strong symbolic content to it, as you say. You know, for both of these parts of the world to say, we no longer need the West, you know, in terms of getting a good education, in terms of, you know, sort of our diplomacy, we can do that without you.
Ryan Brown is with us. She's a Fulbright scholar, also a freelance journalist. She just recently returned from Johannesburg on a Fulbright scholarship. And her article, African Students See China as a Path to a Prosperous Future, appeared in the Chronicle of Higher Education. Well, China is a notoriously or famously, let's say, a homogenous society and culture. What is it like for an African student? It must really stand out there.
Yeah, it's still the case that, especially when you go outside of the largest Chinese cities, many of the students I spoke to mentioned that they were just quite simply curiosities to people. People would come up to them, touch their hair, touch their skin, try to see if they could rub off the black layer of the skin, ask them for photographs, almost as though they were celebrities or something. But it's also the case now that China, is quite well integrated with the world, and there are many, especially in larger Chinese cities, there are many established African communities, and so Africans are much less of a curiosity than once they were. And then the other thing is that the government scholarships that China now offers to African students include a component where students come and they do intensive Mandarin language instruction for their first year in China, and so the result of that is that you have this group of international students who are, on one level, able to integrate very, very well in Chinese university communities and the cities and towns around them because they're very well linguistically and culturally integrated.
Yeah, it's on the Chinese model, right? They're being educated in Mandarin. The education is different than the Western model. I'm wondering how it might compare to a culture shift for an African studying in China than in the U.S. or Europe.
Yeah, people spoke to me about a definite culture shock when it came to the mode of teaching. In China, it's very common for even something like a language to be taught via rote memorization. So students said they would be in class for 10 hours a day, and much of it is spent just parroting back what the professor says to them in Chinese. And when they would ask these kind of questions of, why is it like that and how was that grammar construction, how did it come about, that was just sort of alien to their Chinese teachers. So a lot of them did say it was quite different than what they had grown up with.
Interesting. McKinsey & Company recently projected huge growth in Africa in the next decade if wage-paying jobs are created there more aggressively. Looks like this is definitely going to be a story to watch, isn't it, Ryan?
Absolutely.
Well, I really want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Ryan Brown, a Fulbright scholar, freelance journalist, and the author of an article called African Students See China as a Path to a Prosperous Future. It's in the Chronicle of Higher Education.